Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. My name is Renee Spears, and I'm excited today to have the lovely Erin Vanderkooy back for another podcast. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Now, Erin is a health coach and a functional nutrition lifestyle practitioner. And you were here about 4 months ago, and we were talking about empowered eating and a whole bunch of different topics. And we touched briefly on the energetics of food in that podcast.
Yes.
And specifically in herbs, but in many other things too. So I wanted to have you back so we could explore that a little bit more. So.
Yes. Oh, I'm thrilled. I remember that really standing out from our conversation and how we put a little bookmark in it, hoping we'd be able to come back to it and elaborate a little bit more. So I'm thrilled to be here with you again today.
And then here we are. I love it.
Here we are. Yeah.
So just so that we're clear, when we're talking about food energetics, what are some of the things that go into that?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is really an exciting topic for me because we could go in so many different directions. So I think when we were even talking about getting together today, we talk about one thing and we'll go down a little bit and then come back. And so when I think about food energetics, I think about, the energy behind, everything is energy, right? And I think about the energy behind the food that we're putting into our bodies. And when we were talking about herbs in particular, that's what kind of bookmarked our conversation for today. The thing that was really fascinating, I think, to you at the time, and for me, I'd been working with plants for quite a while before this actually clicked into place, was about adaptogens in particular. So this is kind of a hot word on the market, has been for a little while. It's a bit of, they're sort of maybe trendy. I don't want it to be trendy to be negative, but trendy, like it's becoming more mainstream. People are aware of ashwagandha, astragalus, rhodiola, schisandra berries, or becoming more aware of these sorts of adaptogenic, adaptogens herbs. And the thing that kind of blew my mind, and also when I shared with you, I think you were really fascinated by, was thinking about eating this herb or this plant. And so there's one way of looking at it. We've got, we have the facts and the science behind that they have minerals and vitamins in them, different minerals, different vitamins for different plants. And then there's the energetics of taking a growing, living cellular structure. So let's say like ashwagandha, it's growing in nature. And this plant, the reason it's put into an adaptogen category is because it is very adaptable. I mean, hence the category and the name. So it's really good at changing and morphing and evolving as a plant to combat things like illness or bugs or, really extreme heat or really, dousing with rains for days on end. And it still survives. It knows how to survive because it knows how to adapt. Now, when we take that same plant and we know we're ingesting the minerals and the vitamins, amazing, great, wonderful. Yes, we kind of understand that concept. But maybe some of the listeners, this will be the first time they've thought of the fact that the plant, because it's adapting in nature, when we ingest those cells into our body, they work with our own cells to adapt and balance. And, different ones have different properties, but things like mental health, depression, anxiety, some of these are cancer fighting. That's kind of going down a different avenue, but I mean, there's just so much potential and it's fascinating when you understand that. And maybe some of our listeners know this already, but I'm kind of nerd out on this stuff and think that's pretty cool.
It's really cool. And when I was doing the research for this podcast, my mind was just blown away at how much what we eat affects us physically. We know that, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
Yes.
So as we're talking about energy and everything being energy, what we're really doing is ingesting energy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a great way to put it and to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I really found interesting is the way that we can use food to help us with, we're talking about mental health, but I'm going to say spiritual health also. For instance, if you want to feel grounded, and get more grounded, to eat plants that actually grow in the ground, that are root vegetables.
I mean, it seems so obvious when you say it, but it's, you don't all necessarily think this way, right? And it's no. so true. If you eat sweet potatoes and, you know, all these things that are growing up through the earth, if you're wanting to feel more grounded, are perfect. And then in the opposite, I think we were catching up another time talking about this. And if you wanted to feel lighter, you would eat things, foods that, you know, grow above ground or on the trees, or they're lighter in consistency and weight and all sorts of things. There's a really interesting point about this as well. When I learned it, I thought, again, kind of obvious, almost like could it be that simple that's true? And this is another way to think about our food. So oftentimes, things that look like body parts, you and I haven't talked about this before. This might be new for you. So things that look like body parts. So grapes, for example, are really good for our eyes. What their properties and what they're made up of are really beneficial for our eyes and our eyesight. They're the same shape. If you think about dark leafy greens or any greens at all, I'm going to ask you to guess this one. Think of the shape of like kale or lettuce, or what does that remind you of in the body?
Well, I would a couple things, probably lungs.
Yep.
Yep.
I did this and I went, oh no. Put my hand on my chest. Yes. So they're really beneficial for our lungs. And mushrooms, the cellular structure of mushrooms is so complex and cell-like. They really help all systems of our body. I mean, you can see the research now coming out with mushrooms. It's phenomenal. There's all sorts of mushroom powders, and we're getting more experimental with things like reishi and cordyceps, and you know, and just our regular mushrooms are good for us as well. So, but so are shiitakes, and gosh, mushrooms are magical.
Yes, I love mushrooms. Oh yeah. My goodness.
So next time, if you have something in particular that you're working on, think of what a fruit or vegetable or plant or herb might look similar. And oftentimes there's a chance that it will really support that specific organ or body part or whatever it might be.
That's a really good way of thinking of it. And also thinking of food literally as energy. So yes. If you want to be a high vibing person full of energy, of course you're going to need to eat high vibing foods versus the opposite of a lot of the processed foods or fast foods that actually lower your vibe.
Yep. Yeah, they really, really do. And that actually makes me think about the energetics even behind cooking. You know, we touched on this before as well, just to share with our listeners that I see cooking personally as almost a meditative state. I love cooking. Now, I know not all people feel like that. It feels like sometimes more of a chore for some people. There's no right or wrong or good or bad there. And if you prepare a meal and let's say you've just had an argument or you're feeling really upset, you're actually infusing that food with that energy versus cooking a meal and feeling light or happy or we can think of where the food came from, who picked it, where was it grown, you know, these sorts of positive thoughts that infuses into the food. And there's actually studies, you know, we think about, I think our audience is probably more used to thinking like this, but if there are people who are listening who maybe haven't thought about this before, there are actually scientific studies where they've had people eat meals being prepared by someone who's really upset versus really happy, and asking them how they feel after, having no idea what the experiment is all about, and really having like, this is true stuff. This is actual energetic stuff. So maybe take a break if you're having a bad moment and do something quick and easy or if you're preparing it for someone else, maybe ask them to prepare it if you're having a hard day. Or it oftentimes makes me think about when I eat out, you know, looking about how the chef's feeling.
Yes. And especially if you were going to, let's say, a fast food place where, you know, perhaps it's an entry level job. And then they're preparing that. I don't know. Where does the food come from? Is it even local? So that's another whole topic.
Gosh.
Yes. It's fascinating to me how food grown in your own neighborhood, you know, they say that 50 miles from your home radius, how it's really the best for your body. That's what your body is needing. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah. So seasonal eating is definitely a thing. You know, we're so lucky because we have access to so much variety. And if there's one thing that I could really, really shout about, it would be the more diverse and the more variety that we have in our diets, the better. It really is so, so true that the because we're getting exposure to all those different cells, all those different plants, all that different food. And eating locally is important because as a living organism ourselves, you know, the climate, the time of year. So in the winter, we don't really, if you're from where we're from, well, you're actually now in a different place, but same kind of winter. You know, I'm in Portland, Oregon, so Pacific Northwest. It's cold, it's a bit cloudy and dreary. And if I was spending the winters here eating tropical fruit all day long every day, that's not what is most supportive for my body. It doesn't align energetically with the climate and, you know, with what's happening environmentally around me. So that's one way of looking at local eating for sure. It's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. Also the whole idea of Ayurveda and, mm-hmm. you know, balancing out your body mm-hmm. and whether it's too moist, too hot, too whatever with the food mm-hmm. you're eating.
Yes.
That's another fascinating whole topic.
Ayurveda. We could go down such a rabbit hole with that as well. Everything with Ayurveda, really resonates with me, and here's the thing about health and wellness and nutrition. We are all so completely unique. So try these things on for size. Maybe you are someone who your body does react well off of having a little bit of pineapple, you know, throughout the winter. This isn't to say don't ever eat a banana when it's December and you live somewhere that's cold. You know, we really want to be experimenting and figuring out what works best for us. It's just one way of thinking that if you're not doing too well, assessing what you are putting into your body on a day to day. And if it is cold in winter, are they warm, nourishing foods, which Ayurveda would support? Or are they, you know, are you eating salads and tropical fruit all day in the dead of winter? Right. And another thing is, with the whole local eating that maybe, and this is a little different from energetics, but just really something to think about is when our foods are transported from further afield, they're picked way too early because, you know, they're going to have all that time in transport and then storage, and then they're eventually going to get onto the grocery store shelves. Whereas when something is picked locally, you're usually going to get it within, you know, with a few days, really, at the most. This is why farmers markets are so great, or local CSAs. Every day that a fruit or vegetable is picked, it will be losing a little bit of nutrients. Now, that's not to say when you have, a banana that's 4 days old, that banana is not going to be any good for you. Eat the banana. It's wonderful. It's a delicious, amazing fruit. But the fresher we can be eating our produce, the more of that, you know, that energetic live cell structure and nutrients we're going to have coming into our body. And the way that we can really guarantee that is by eating locally. So there's the seasonal aspect, which is really supportive for our energetics. It's the local aspect of the nutritional content and having something picked at its peak ripeness. And then there's also the environmental aspect when you're looking at this broad picture. You know, you're not having the transmissions of shipping something across the country. And so, yeah, there's a lot there. And like I say, we really do want to be eating the most varied diet. And there's a lot of other things to take into consideration energetically when we're looking at all of that as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, you know, what my big thing, of course, is vibration and keeping your vibe high and your energy high.
Yeah. And love it.
I know. So one of the things that I have been doing recently, as a test, you know, I love scientific experiments too, is really infusing my food with energy before I eat it. Before I'm sitting down and it's there, and it, you know, it goes back to that, you know, a lot of religions have of praying over their food, giving gratitude to their food. Once again, that is energy that you are putting on that. You're changing the vibration of what you're eating by appreciating it. You can also set an intention with your food. When I eat this, it's going to benefit my body. It's going to add nutrients to my body. It's going to raise my vibration. So thinking about that and focusing that on your food and then eating it, you are literally putting that good, high vibing energy into your body.
Yes. Yes, this is amazing. Okay, two things spring to mind for me with that. Let me see if I can make sure that I remember and explain them both. So when you're actually pausing in that sense before you eat, So you're infusing it with a positive energy and thinking about how those nutrients, giving time to think how those nutrients are going to affect you. You're also, which is what is really neat, I think I mentioned this earlier, is thinking about where did they grow? What hands have touched them? How do they get to your plate? Like thinking about that backwards is really an amazing energy connection as well. And what you're also doing on a scientific side of things is you are preparing. So our body starts, this is, check this out. Our body starts digesting our food when we see it.
Oh, fascinating.
So when we see food and smell food, so we all think that digestion starts when it goes into our mouth, which is an early part of the digestive process. Different things are broken down in different parts of our digestive tract. So certain enzymes in the mouth, certain enzymes in the intestines, etc. Saying that, digestion starts even before that when we smell and see our food. So when you take that pause, you're actually allowing your saliva, allowing your mouth to start producing those enzymes that are going to start breaking down that food while you chew it before it starts even entering your body. And we know it's not what you can eat, it's what you can digest. So yes. You may be eating this beautiful, amazing, energetically infused food. And if you're swallowing it, you know, in 2 seconds flat, then it's not really going to be beneficial. Your body's not going to be able to use and extract the nutrients and use it like it can. I had another point there with pausing. I lost it. It might come back to me.
I'm sure it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Well, what you're saying about thinking about where your food comes from. I used to own a cannabis company and we bought cannabis from this one farmer. And the farmer would have, when they were planting, they would have the Native American women come and do chants and bless the ground, bless the seeds before they went in, the plants. And, you know, everybody swore this was the best cannabis on the planet. And which goes back to your food even. Where's it coming from? What's it growing in? Who's picking it? Who's preparing it? Are they preparing it with love? You know?
Well, and where you, so again, on the diversity and having a lot of nutrient variety in your life, where your food comes, like each soil and each crop even is going to be different. So even if it's the same farm, each crop will be different, each farm will be different, even if they're side by side. So making sure that your food sources are varied as well can be really helpful. You're going to have varying, you know, one carrot, you could have 10 carrots lined up from all different places that have different nutrient content, which is kind of crazy. So mixing it up as much as possible is really good as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, I know that you've had COVID recently.
Yes.
And I had not thought about
this. I don't know
before.
Why I'm smiling. I'm like, yes, I did.
Yeah, COVID.
Oh, well, it was sooner or later I was going to join the club.
I think we all are going to be there at some point.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. But going back to the idea of thinking about food as medicine, and you going to your apothecary, you know, and pulling out the stuff instead of just taking, you know, off the shelf medication, Tylenol PM or whatever it may be, using, I don't know, the wonderful magic of the planet, of science, of these plants to help you heal.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, there's so much to that. I am an advocate of medicine. There's a time and place where we absolutely need to take it. And, you know, on day one, when I find out that I can't leave my house anymore that day, because I've just tested positive, and I didn't, you know, have anything in the house really that I may have decided to buy at some point from the drugstore, I thought, oh, wait a minute, I have this whole apothecary. So to go down there and pick out the antivirals, the herbs that are high in vitamin C. So some great examples are rose hips, you know, lemon peel or orange peel is all really high in vitamin C. Red raspberry leaf is super high in vitamin C. And then the antivirals, you know, I piled on the lemon balm. I also added some schisandra in there. I'm trying to think what else, but it was real. And, you know, for me, it was really neat just to lay everything out and start making my infusions and my decoctions and know that I was supporting myself. Also, as we know or have seen with COVID, you know, not only vitamin C, but zinc. And of course, they go well together. So upping foods that were high in zinc, right? I have pumpkin seeds at hand here. So eating more pumpkin seeds, nuts and seeds in general, and just feeling like with the foods in my cupboard and my apothecary that I was going to be, you know, just fine in comparison to taking a vitamin C tablet, You know, I was like, well, I have just as much vitamin C in these plants that I can work with today. And it's more bioavailable for my body as well, right? Yeah. Because it's not coming in an inorganic form. It's coming in the two ways you could do it is extract the medicine by decoction or infusion and then ingest it. Or you can eat these, some of these plants, most herbs you can eat whole, but make sure you do your research and eat them whole. And then my body would actually do the work of extracting the medicine from those plants. And that was really, really kind of neat. And I know at the end of our call, I want to, if it's okay, talk about one other thing in terms of energetics, but at the end of our call, I'd love to give our listeners, because some people might be listening thinking, well, I don't have Shisandra berry or lemon balm at my, you know, at the ready. But I do have a really awesome, tea recipe that I'm almost certain you'll have every ingredient in your cupboard. So I would love to share that with you all at the end. But before there's one other energetic thing that I think is really fascinating. Some of your listeners might be familiar with kinesiology or the muscle testing for food intolerances or food sensitivities. And actually this has been in practice for quite a long time. And chiropractors, I think 40% of chiropractors use this type of testing. And without going down a huge rabbit hole of the muscle testing, if you're curious on energetics, it's a really fascinating read if you want to Google it. I wanted to offer something that was kind of neat and another thing that you can just do on your own when you're in the grocery store the next time. So I have a friend who's a nurse and an Ayurvedic coach as well. And her husband, when they're in the grocery store, if they're ever purchasing something that they're unsure about, you know, she'll say, oh, well, what do you think about this? Should we get this today? And he'll look at it and he'll go, oh, I'm not sure. And what they both do is they do their own kinesiology in the grocery store. So they'll pick up the item and they'll hold it with their arm out for a brief moment. And then he would do the same. And they would, through the testing, whether they would get a yes or a no when they're holding it. And, you know, this is, again, science backed of that. Just have, and when you're doing the food insensitivities, they make you hold the actual food, right? So it might be an onion or it might be a spice or an almond, whatever it is that you're testing, and you're holding that in your actual palm, you know, against your skin, and they're able to test by your reaction what your body is saying cell to cell. And I think that's pretty fascinating.
It's really fascinating. That same energetic muscle testing is used for so many things, you know. Is this book high vibrating or not? Will this vacation be good for me or not? So that's one way you can really tune into the higher vibes of things is through that muscle testing.
Yeah. And remember that it's not forever. So, and this goes with a lot of food and sensitivities. You know, if you test, even if you go through, like you can get food sensitivities testing by blood work. There's a few different ways that kinesiology as well, of course, but it's not forever. So if you can't eat or you're told to avoid or not eat strawberries or eggs, you may be able to eat strawberries or eggs in 6 months to a year. So just to know that when you're, or even at the grocery store, you know, if in that moment on that day, and let's say it's the dead of winter or whatever the reason you weren't supposed to have it that day, but maybe you can in six, and not that you can or can't, everyone can do what they like, but you can test it again. It's my point, you know,
yes,
remain
yes.
open and nothing is finite. Try to give yourself some flexibility there.
Well, it, for me, what really, has shifted my entire way of thinking about food is the energy of it. Is it giving me energy or is it taking energy from me? Ooh, and if we want to be high vibrating people and be positive and attract things and have great lives, we want high vibing food. We want to know where it comes. We want to eat the best that we can, the healthiest, organic. And I want to even talk a little bit about, I am not a vegetarian, but I don't eat very much meat, but I'd like to just at least bring up the subject of how animals are slaughtered and that energy of how that happens. And I know we would try to keep our show high vibing, but we need to point it out how they are slaughtered. That is the energy that you are taking into your body.
Yeah.
So be really careful about, you know, the meat that you eat in addition to the produce and everything else.
Absolutely. I would say the meat is actually more important. And, you know, I know that eating organic meat and produce is not totally accessible for everyone. So I want to acknowledge that and be aware of that. And to say, you know, if you can't afford to eat organic produce, you're better to eat produce than not eat produce at all. if it's non-organic. So please continue. And there's a Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 list. If you Google that, it's updated every single year. And they do testing on produce to say what is the most polluted with pesticides and the least. And that's a great gauge. So if it's financially, it's difficult for you to be eating everything organic, look at the Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen, and then you can make some conscious choices there. However, going into the meat, Renee, I mean, I'm really glad you brought that up, because if you eat organic meat, that guarantees they haven't used hormones or antibiotics, and it's been fed what it's supposed to eat. Again, without going down a rabbit hole, a lot of beef is fed grains, which when we ingest beef that's been raised on grains, grains are not what beef are supposed to eat. They're supposed to eat, what they naturally eat, I should say. They eat naturally, they eat grass. And when they're fed grains, and then we ingest that meat, and the reason they're fed grains is to make the meat marbly and give it that, you know, that fatty kind of marbly effect. And when we ingest that, it wreaks havoc in our bodies. And so yes, that meat will cost a little bit more, but you actually nailed it when you said, I don't eat that much meat. So you could reduce your meat consumption. We don't need it every single day. We don't need it three meals a day, certainly. And if you reduce it, and then you can spend money and get higher quality, I would say organic meat is really a good thing to aim for the majority or most of the time. And then pick and choose your organic produce if you can't do it all, and if you can do it all, wonderful. For sure these are great things to keep in mind.
And what I love what you say, Erin, of there's no right or wrong, good or bad when it comes to food too, and which always reminds me of chocolate cake.
Oh yes. Oh, I love where we're going here. I know what you're about to say.
So I just want to compare and contrast two kinds of chocolate cake. Yes. One of them, your mom or grandma makes a family recipe. She said she's putting love into it. It's for your birthday. It's a celebration. Everybody's looking forward to eating that wonderful cake. You allow yourself to eat it without any guilt. That's one chocolate cake. Yep. The other chocolate cake, you bought at the grocery store. Who knows who even baked it, if it was a big thing.
It's crap, in plastic. Oils and oil. Whatever else. We don't know what's in there. Vegetable oil. And
exactly. Also, you feel incredibly guilty even eating it. There's shame involved. So just if we can just think about those two chocolate cakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the vibration of those two.
Well, and there's four layers to these chocolate cakes. Pardon the pun. But there's four, I don't know if this is going to make any sense. Let me try. I've never done this before. Yeah. So, the first example is that one is, you know, there is no right or wrong or good or bad. And, you know, I'm kind of half joking when I say oil. I make a carrot cake that has a whole cup of oil. That's the fat in that cake, but I use a really lovely high quality olive oil. And again, without going into great detail, vegetable oils, it's kind of like the grain fed meat, they really wreak havoc when we ingest them. And so while there's no, I really believe in the concept of no right or wrong, good or bad, you know, when you eat something, it's just whether it's good or bad for you. Someone might eat that store-bought, in my opinion, crappy chocolate cake and be just fine and have no health issues and live a long and happy life. There are two comparisons there. So talking about the four layers, we do have a cake that is more nutrient dense and nutritious, we would think, by the grandma, right? We can, let's just assume. And then we have the other layer, which is the energetics, right? And so you're mentioning, yes, you're going into the grandma cake with celebration and love, and you're feeling nurtured and cared, and all of this goodness is washing over you. And you're going, and you know, this is in theory. Maybe you're going to eat the store-bought cake and feel just as lovely. But
maybe,
I'm going to tell you, that's the four layers here, because I'm going to tell you something about that. But let's just stick with this story for now. So the store-bought cake with who knows what in it. Yes, one of those is going to affect your body better than the other at base level. However, the energetics going into that is going to really, really affect it as well. So this is going to be a little head spin though, which, and I, you know, I have to say it because it's the truth. But it's, you know, I wouldn't want to promote eating crappy cake that you don't know what's in it very often. However, if you ate that crappy cake and you had the same energetics that you had around your grandma's cake, you would feel better after eating it. And I'm not talking about mentally better. I'm talking about physically better. And in terms of physical complications or anything negative that might happen from eating a cake like that, will be less mind blown, will be less detrimental if you eat it with a positive, happy, accepting, no guilt, no shame. And that's where the no good or bad really comes in. Because the more that we can approach our food without shame or guilt or putting these labels on them and just actually enjoy it for what it is. And if you enjoy it and you still feel crappy, then you get to make a choice. Well, maybe I don't want to eat the crappy store-bought cake. And maybe I want to make my own cake, or I want to only eat grandma's or ask for grandma's recipe or whatever it might be. The overarching theme here is, though, the energy and the thoughts, which, you know, thoughts are energy intertwined, that go into that experience really impact it. And that's kind of hard for some people to get their head wrapped around. And it's so, so true. So the more forgiving and relaxed and accepting and kind that we can be towards ourselves and our experiences. And I recommend get really curious after. So instead of having judgment or thinking, you know, what made me do that, or all the thoughts that could come along with that, enjoy the experience first and foremost. Because if you're going to eat the darn cake, you might as well enjoy
Go all in. Enjoy that cake. Yes.
And then afterwards, just get curious. If you don't feel good, think, well, why and how and what could I try different next time? And that's how we make progress, you know?
Yes. Yes. One of the things that you told me the last time you were here, which has changed my life, and it's so simple, I'm almost a little embarrassed to say it, is we talked about the importance of chewing food.
Yes.
And every meal I think about you now, I'm chewing my food.
I'm honored.
But I feel so much better. My digestion is so much better. Everything is functioning in the system so much better from the simple act of chewing my food more.
Yeah. And that comes down to the pause. Well, what you're doing is you're helping your, so again, we're not what we eat. I mean, sometimes we are, depending on where you're at. And we are what we can digest, right? And we have this, we have the opportunity to pause, like you said earlier, and start the digestion by mindfulness and appreciating our food and allowing our body to start the digestive process. And then the chewing, you know, the more that we can chew it and just be intentional. So you'll read things that say chew 100 times or chew 50 bites. And now don't listen to any of that. Chew intentionally. Chew until your food feels like something that your beautiful body is going to be able to turn into your eyeball or your fingernail, or this is my favorite thing, like, because that's just the miracle of life, right? Like, this food is going to turn into my amazing, incredible, how my body functions body, right?
Yeah.
So yes, please chew your food. It's the simplest, easiest, and most effective thing you can do to support your digestion.
Well, wonderful. You said chew intentionally, but I think the whole, all of this goes back to intention.
Yeah.
You know, intentionally think about what you're putting in your body, what it's going to do, raise or lower your vibration, where it's coming from, how it's being prepared, the emotions behind it, no shame, no guilt, with appreciation and love being there. So it's all intentional. And I think that sometimes in our society, we just mindlessly eat, but we mindlessly do almost everything at some point.
Yeah.
So just really getting intentional about what you want your life to be.
Ooh.
Because what we're putting in our, what we are eating really is, it's turning into a fingernail eyeball. I love that idea. But you know what it is? It's also turning into your life. Yep. It's how you feel going out through the day, how energetic you are, what you were attracting in your life. So we're talking about some herbs from the garden and all that, but those herbs are really the basic building blocks of your life and how great your life is going. So if we could make that mind shift, I think it could really change how we live. Yeah. So.
So beautifully said.
Okay. So I want to get in, you have this recipe for the tea.
Oh yes. Okay. So I'm pretty certain that most of you will have at least half, if not all, of these ingredients. So this is an antiviral tea. You can take this as a preventative or with, when you have a viral infection. We've got a half a teaspoon of thyme, a half a teaspoon of rosemary, half a teaspoon of oregano. Oregano is a powerhouse antiviral, by the way, really great. A lot of people will be familiar with oregano oil, even using that in a variety of ways. Half a teaspoon of sage, And then we have an inch of fresh ginger root, or you could also use powdered ginger, probably again, a half a teaspoon, 1 tablespoon of peppermint. So that could be a loose leaf peppermint tea, or you could even go out and pick fresh peppermint from the garden. And then a tablespoon of green tea or just a green tea bag, 1 bay leaf. And then this is more for the aroma and the enjoyment of the experience at the end, is putting in 2 slices of orange or lime. And that will also offer a little bit of vitamin C in there. And so if you add all of these ingredients to a loose leaf teapot or a tea ball strainer, and you steep for 5 to 10 minutes, and that's what I like to refer to. So, you know, not everyone has an apothecary like myself, but most people have some form of a spice cabinet. And I love referring to my spice cabinet as my medicine cabinet.
Oh, and anytime
I'm cooking something, look up there and think, what could I put in? And another little trick, if you do like to follow recipes and they say, put in, you know, this tea, I would say stick to the measurements. Also, it would be this is for 1 cup. So it would be a lot to put in more than this. However, when you're following recipes for food, don't be shy. If it says 1/2 teaspoon of thyme or 1 teaspoon of thyme, oftentimes I'll put 1 tablespoon. Up those herbs in there. Get those properties going in your food. And it's tasty too. It usually wouldn't ruin the flavor, but don't mark my words on that. If you ruin something, I'm sorry. Experiment, have fun, and don't judge yourself if you mess up.
Well, you are just a wealth of information about everything nutrition. I learn so much every time we talk. And I know you have a course coming up soon.
Oh, I do, really.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I'm so excited. So this is launching on February 16th. That's Wednesday. And that'll be our first call. They take place weekly from 12 noon to 1:15 Pacific Standard Time. It's a 5-week course, and it's covering all my group programs are called Uniquely Nourished. And then this one is the Uniquely Nourished Essentials. I have a Uniquely Nourished Food Intolerance coming up in March. And this one is meant to really help strengthen your health foundation. We're going to be going into digestion. We'll do meal planning and talk about food, balancing hormones, boosting the immune system. So this is really like a reset. It's meant to not be a ton of work. It's supposed to meet you exactly where you're at and support you in your day-to-day life in between the group sessions. It will be an intimate group, so there'll be tons of time for group coaching. So if you do have things specific that you're working on, we'll have a chance to explore and chat about that. I'm thrilled. And it's $250 for the entire 5 weeks. I wanted to make it really accessible. And I'm just thrilled to get going on it and get started. And anyone who wants to join can click on the link on my website to find out more information and enroll, book your spot. You also get a one-on-one session with me included in the package, tons of handouts, email follow-ups. We'll be looking at health goals. It's going to be a blast.
And I think one of the easiest ways to improve your health, like immediately, is how you eat.
Yes.
So, you know, like literally we can eat something now and in 10 minutes, actually looking at it, as you're saying, when digestion starts, when we're looking at it, in 10 minutes, we're actually making great change in our body. It's fascinating to me. So
I was just going to say, I love how something which seemingly so simple, like chewing, you've noticed in the last 4 months that that's had an impact. And, you know, we sometimes find things that work for us, and for example, chewing, and then forget, and all of a sudden we're eating quickly again. So a program like this, the accountability and interacting in a group is just that reminder, and 5 weeks really helps those new habits kind of stick. And I'll have handouts and templates that will support you, you know, on your health journey for the rest of your life. So yeah, sorry, nice. I'm excited.
Well, I will put a link to Erin's website in the show notes. And I'll also put a link to the last podcast we did too, because there was so much great information in there too. Yes. And you know, I think often we don't learn this stuff, you know, so we don't learn it at school here in the States, you know, and a lot of times our parents didn't have this information to pass on to us. So many of us are really starting with the basics. Like I need to know to chew my food more, you know, I need to know about, the importance of using herbs and the vibration of your food and locally and seasonally and all that stuff.
So, well, and I really like this to be things that we have access to already, you know, already. like this tea recipe, already things that you might have in your cupboard, right? Or at least half of them or most of them, or things that we have as a human, as a right access to right now with who we are today without buying the next book or forcing ourselves to try something that feels hard, right? I want the basics and the foundation, the essentials to feel easy and supportive.
Easy. And you know what? Easy is a clue. Easy is a clue that you're on the right path.
Yeah.
If something is hard, really, that's the universe saying, hey, are you really sure you want to do this?
So, yeah, that's a good point too.
Thank you so much, Erin. I really appreciate you being here and sharing all your knowledge with us. And I would love to have you come back at some time in the future and we can dive into something else.
Oh, I would love that. I would be honored. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye-bye.